My quiet time with God. We're going to be looking at some of those statements like that when we get to the preaching of His Word. One thing, ushers, if you'll go ahead and get ready and come on down. We need you to get signed up to help us out for the missions conference that starts on Sunday. We need some volunteers starting on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the meal preps. There's just one of those nights where we're asking for some folks to fix some things at home and then bring it. So there's just a sign-up sheet there for a couple of those individuals. I hope you ushers have space down here. I don't know if you're going to be able to make it. So I got to ad lib a little bit here to let all these people get ready as we have our orchestra. Well, Kim, what do you call this? A windy ensemble. Yeah, is that what I heard? No, I didn't hear. Oh, okay. All right. So, this is great. This is great. Seven of them up here. This is going to be good. You take a long time putting your money in there, all that money, so they get to play longer. They may have to go through it twice. Whatever it is they're going to do. All right. So, but if you can, get signed up there. Look at that list tonight. See if you can help us out the following Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the various areas that are listed there. Rod, if you would then, please lead us in prayer for the offering tonight.
Lord, we thank this time to be in the house this evening. Be with Pastor as he opens the Word. Be with the special music and be with this offering that we might use it for thy honor and glory. In the name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks, very much, and great to have that many folks that would be willing to get these instruments out and use them here for the Lord. So if you will, though, in your songbooks, take them, turn to number 438, 438, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. We go to Him in prayer, and then we ask Him to lead us and guide us, 438. Let's all stand as we sing on this song, please, everyone standing on that first verse.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way precious Lord, linger near, when my strength is almost gone. Hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Though the night be long, in my heart there's a song, I will praise Thee while life shall last. Be my guide all the way, by Thy side I will stay. Break my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
You may be seated. All right, tonight as we come once again to this area of prayer, we're going to be mentioning several verses. We're not going to be going to any particular passage to read, but as we look at the calling upon God, or might call it the equipment for prayer, and I'll explain that shortly. But on May 7th of this year, I think that's the date that has been designated the National Day of Prayer. And we have, for many years, had a luncheon here at our church. And as we think about the need of prayer, and, you know, we meet for one lunchtime period, and we cover a lot of different areas of prayer and a lot of different prayer requests in that time. The National Day of Prayer Committee has all kinds of things that are available for churches or organizations to use. So you might say a lot of equipment in that way. There's posters and flyers that you can put up if you so desire. I mean, you can really go whole hog on this thing and spend a lot of money if that's what a church or an organization decides to do. There's bulletin inserts, there's napkins and cups and all kinds of things for having the celebration or having that event of National Day of Prayer at a church. I am thankful that we're able to do that here. Now, there is a community service in which it's ecumenical. A lot of different churches, a lot of different Christians are getting together. And we just kind of let them do whatever they want to do there. We get together here and provide a lunch and have a time of prayer. I'm thankful that we take that time. Now, there's much more of a need of prayer than just one day a year. But I am thankful that our country, because usually our president acknowledges that day, and oftentimes there is some kind of a presidential prayer breakfast on that day. And so I'm thankful that our nation has continued to acknowledge the need of going to God in prayer. Although a single day really is just a drop in the bucket, it's not even a full drop of how we ought to be praying. As we realize that the purpose of prayer is not to get attention of men, but it's to get the attention of the Lord's ear and of the Lord's heart. Our National Day of Prayer observance is very small in its attendance. A lot of folks have other responsibilities during the day. But when it does come around to that time there in May, I trust that this year, perhaps, if you have not been coming, that you would come out on that day. It's a Thursday, and that you'll come out and join in with us. As we realize, here in our nation, we have this freedom to gather, freedom to gather here tonight. I'm hopeful that we might have perhaps a couple of pictures from Russia next week. I'm not saying we will. I'm just hopeful that we will. Of the new place where the Vinokurovs and all of their church folks are gathering. Denise and I saw it last summer. We couldn't get past the fence. We looked through, and Denise didn't look over the fence. I looked over the fence. She looked through the fence. But we saw what it was. It was a mess. It was a private residence, all grown up, really needing a lot of work. In fact, their plans were to tear it down and build a church building. But they found out a few weeks after we were there that the government building that they were in, and that's just amazing, you know, it was a Russian government building, and they knew that they were renting. They knew what was going on in the building. Now, they didn't rent it to a church. They rented it to some brethren. But they knew what was going on inside that building. And so they'd been doing that for quite a long time, over a couple of years. But they got to the point where they thought maybe they shouldn't have that church group in there. And they had to quickly then move into their property that they had. And so I'm not sure what they did with it and what kind of arrangements they made. But here we are. We've got this privilege of freedom to pray, to gather, to sing, to have our building open, to freely advertise. Got our name out there on the building, and we got notices in the newspaper. We're on the radio Sunday morning. I mean, wow, this is great for us to have this kind of freedom. But we have to make sure we don't take it for granted. although we could still pray even if our government didn't allow us to have some of these things. Biblical prayer is never designed, though, for the ears of men. It's only designed for God. And that's why Jesus said during his ministry, you know, some of those Pharisees, they would stand on the street corners and out in the open, and then they'd pray and they'd go through all kinds of motions and sounds. And it's kind of like there's, you know, when they today will stand in front of the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, the old foundation, the old retaining wall of the temple court area. Jesus had said to the disciples in Matthew 24 that there was not going to be one stone left upon another of that building, and there was not. But there's this huge retaining wall, and that's what we always see. It's called the Wailing Wall, and you'll see it's very, very tall. And these huge building blocks, they're 6 foot tall, because when I stood in front of that wall, the first joint was right up here, eye level for me. These are huge blocks. And the Jews come and they write their prayers on a piece of paper and they stick it inside the cracks that are all throughout that. And they stand there and they're doing this rocking back and forth. That's just part of their prayer process as they pray. And here, some of them are doing it because others are watching. There's always a lot of people around, and they're being watched, and so that makes them feel good. But our prayers are not for other people. Our prayers are for the Lord. Even as we pray here in public, you know, yes, other people are listening, but our prayer should be that this offering we're going to take, we're asking the Lord to bless it. This service that we're asking Him to bless, or this conclusion that we have just finished, we're asking the Lord to bless all of us in that which we've heard and that which we've done. So prayer is not meant for man. It's meant for man to be able to speak to God. And as we read in the Bible, kind of the history of prayer, Adam and Eve spoke to God, and they spoke directly to God. But after the fall, we don't see them speaking to God except for that one day there in Genesis chapter 3 when God asks them, have you sinned and have you taken of that tree that I told you not to? And yes, 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 yes. You know, so okay, there was that day of communicating with God. But it didn't seem to be a regular pattern of the people's lives. When Cain and Abel brought their offerings before the Lord there in chapter 4. Cain was upset because God said that his offering was not proper. And Cain then went out from God and seemed to have nothing more to do with God. Cain started a family. There were more descendants than of Cain. Probably those people didn't have anything to do with God. What, you know, I trust your heart just kind of breaks over children that we see where mom and dad don't care anything about spiritual matters. And these poor kids are growing up that way. So what do they feel? Nothing. They don't feel anything about spiritual matters either, because it's not in the home. That's why we want to get a van route going again. That's why we want to, when the weather begins to be a little more consistently more favorable, we want to get out and start knocking on doors again and bring in children on our van. And that's why we put some money last business meeting week into our bus fund. I'd love to see us get another bus, get rid of the junker that we have, but get another bus that we can go around picking up kids, because some of these homes, they just are not being taught anything because mom and dad don't care. And Cain created a whole generation that way as they went out. And I believe that there was a period of time there, don't know how many years, in which, generally speaking, man did not pray to God. Because we read in Genesis 4, in verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And Seth was born long after the Cain and Abel incident. And so Seth was born to Adam and Eve. And to him also there was born a son. He called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, apparently, men had quit calling upon the name of the Lord. And so when Seth had a son and he began to grow, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And probably since Cain was out of touch with God, then all of his descendants, his family also was out of touch. But as we realize that we have public worship, and we come together at times like this, three times a week, we're coming together in a corporate body, twice here on Sunday, once on Wednesday night, and at times then to pray and to ask God's blessing. The most important time, I believe, is our individual prayer times. We have corporate prayer here, and I believe that's something we need to do. We need to maintain it, not just the standard prayers out of some prayer book that are repeated all the time, but prayers that are coming from the heart, prayers that are coming from the moment of the need right then. And so as we realize that there was probably a time that man did not call upon the name of the Lord, that then they began to do so. Because probably by that time, they were beginning to feel the effects of sin. They were having sicknesses. They were certainly having failures in their families. Sin was beginning to really impact their world in which they lived. And they began to go to God again, asking for His blessing, asking for His help. Throughout the Bible, we're always finding the believing people calling upon God. Jacob called upon God there in Genesis for a blessing, would not let go until he got that blessing. Hannah, later on, called upon God in order to have a child. Moses called upon God to spare Israel when God said, Moses, step aside, let me just wipe them all out, I'll start all over with you. And Moses said no, so he called upon God to save them. Jabez, he's always a name connected with prayer. Jabez prayed for God to expand his borders. I believe he probably meant to expand his influence that he might have upon men. David called upon God, Psalm 51, for forgiveness. Elijah called upon God to send fire down and consume that altar there on Mount Carmel. Solomon called upon God when he became the king, asking for wisdom. Job called upon God repeatedly in his times of the troubles that he was having. Daniel called upon God three times a day, like he always did, even after laws were passed that said you're not supposed to pray. Stephen called upon God to forgive his executioners who were throwing stones at him. And Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, called upon God after he was saved to guide him, direct him, and to give his sight back to him. God's people have been praying for generations. What about you? Do you have a regular time of prayer? Do you have a time where you're going beyond whatever is the immediate need of the moment or of the morning or of the day and expanding that prayer list? Our Wednesday night prayer list is just a sampling. Kind of like the Lord's Prayer is an example or a sample prayer, so is our Wednesday night prayer list a sampling of the prayers to be prayed and the things to be asked for. Since we are changed internally when we're saved, then there should be this change in how we focus on everything that's going on around us. Some of these people are unsaved. And they need a Christian to be praying for them, for God to work in their lives, to destroy their excuses and their reasons, praying for us to have a compassion for them, praying that if our heart has some kind of an issue why we don't want to, are you brave enough to ask the Lord, Lord, destroy that in my own heart? Are you willing to ask God to give to you the burden to go to them? And to witness to them, and to claim them for Christ. You see, those things are very important for us, that because we've become now a new creature in Christ. Sometimes people think, well, you know, you're a Christian, so you pray. That, I think, is going too far to assume that. That just because we're saved, we're going to be praying. Sometimes we find that because we are a Christian, we don't pray. That we just kind of leave it up to God to take care of it on His own. Tonight, I've got 3 points here because these are coming from a book that D.M. McIntyre wrote. He wrote a lot of different things, and a lot of different things were on prayer. In the little book of The Hidden Life of Prayer, this is a quote that he says, "The equipment..." I started out with the equipment for National Day of Prayer, how you can buy all of these things from them and have a really pretty setup for your National Day of Prayer. So he says, "The equipment for the inner life of prayer is simple, but it's not always easily secured. It consists particularly of a quiet place, a quiet time, and a quiet heart." Here, he says, we find essentials for calling on God. Those three things. We don't need anything else. We don't need a prayer sheet. We don't need a prayer pillow. We don't need a prayer shawl. We don't need a lot of different things. When Denise and I were traveling on our way to Israel, which is, I think it's 10 or more years ago, and we got on the plane in Chicago, and it was a large plane, had two aisles down this airplane. And as we took off, I thought, wow, this is really strange. There must only be 50 or 60 people on this plane. It probably holds over 200, 250 people. Well, we landed, we had a layover in Toronto. And in Toronto, it filled up completely, mostly with Jews who were on their way to Israel. That's where we were going to go. We were going to go from Toronto to Tel Aviv. And so many of those Jews then had their prayer shawls, so that as we're flying all night long and it came time for them to pray, they got up, they put their little caps on, they put their shawl over their shoulders, and they either stood in the aisles or they sat in their seats rocking and going through their prayers on the airplane. And so they have to have these things to pray. We don't. We don't. In the New Testament, we don't need anything but a quiet place, a quiet hour, and a quiet heart. So those are the things we're going to be looking at, a quiet place. We see the Lord oftentimes in His life going off to some other place, getting away from the crowd, or getting away from the 12, so that He might be able to pray. He went into a garden, or He went into a desert place, or He went into the wilderness, or He sometimes went up onto the mountain to pray. And as He went, He prayed for hours sometimes. He prayed the whole night through. And at other times, He'd get up early in the morning to go pray before all of the movement of the day began. But as He became more well known, as He had healed thousands and thousands of people, anytime anybody heard He was coming to a certain town, you know, the crowds were waiting for Him. And it became harder then to get away. And we find in life that, you know, life gets busy. It may not be because we've got, you know, crowds after us, but life gets busy. And it's hard to get away to a quiet place. But we need a quiet place. We need a place somewhere in order to pray. As Christ grew up, we read in the Gospels that He had some brothers and sisters. Four brothers are mentioned by name, and then it just says sisters, plural. So at least six other siblings that Christ had. I don't think the house was very big. You know, so finding a quiet place in the house was probably kind of impossible. You got mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, and seven kids at least, probably not a good place to find to get alone. And so Jesus, as He was growing up, probably had to go outside somewhere, you know, out behind the carpenter's shop, or out down the street behind somewhere else, or maybe off a little bit to the edge of town and just out there in a field somewhere. And we know that He prayed as a young man. We know He prayed as a teenager. Teens, this is just as important for you. To be praying also. We know He did that. You know why? Because He did those things that pleased His Father. That's why we know He prayed. It wasn't something He just simply started when He became an adult and starting His ministry. He was doing this all along. Because Luke 2:52 tells us that He grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with man. And so we know that Christ was trying to find those places to pray as He was growing up. We're also told, you know, Jesus is teaching. He says, go into your closet. and pray. Well, I'd hate to try to go into our closets at our house and pray. It'd be kind of hard. I'd have to just, when I got done, I'd just have to simply fall out. I'd almost have to fall in, too. We don't have walk-in closets at our house. And so they're packed full with clothes and shoes in the bottom and shelves of shoes there. So it's pretty hard to get into the closet. I don't think Christ meant get into your clothes closet necessarily, but meant go someplace that you can go and pray. Isaac was found out in the field meditating when his bride-to-be came riding that way on her camel. Joseph worshipped God while he was leaning on his staff, it says. And Hezekiah was on his deathbed, and he had been told he was going to die, and he turned towards the wall, and he prayed to God, and God gave him 15 more years. You see, it doesn't always have to be the same thing that somebody else was doing. Moses was alone in that cleft of the rock. Got a great song about that. When God's glory passed by. Ahab went down to eat and drink, but Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and prayed. Daniel sought God's face in his room, in his chamber. And he opened the windows like was normal, facing Jerusalem, when there was a law that said he should not do that. Jesus prayed in the garden of Gethsemane, and prayed for us. Prayed for all those that would believe on the word of the apostles and those who would follow them. Even in cases where it just seems like there is nothing that we can go to, we need to find that place where we can go. It may not be as quiet as we like, because sometimes we can be in a crowd, and there's a lot of talking going on, and you're not listening to any of it. You've been there, right? It's called classroom at school.
Yeah. Teens relate to that. Yeah.
Teachers talking away, and they calling you. Huh? What? I didn't hear you. No, because their mind was somewhere else. And sometimes many times adults are doing the same thing. Somebody's talking, and they're not hearing a single word because their mind is gone somewhere. You can do that. Even, you may not find that perfectly quiet place. There's something else going on, but I don't think you should have TV on and radio and other things like that. But you can find your place and still focus in on God. In fact, sometimes some folks have found that what might seem to be at first a very bad place can actually be a very good place. Not that I encourage you to find yourself in this kind of situation, even though our newspaper today said that our county jail is coming along quite well. And they're looking forward to it getting opened up in the fall. It's going to have 153 beds, but they're not reserved for you, all right? So you shouldn't be putting in a reservation for those. There's other hotels you can go to. You don't have to go to Brian's jail. And so... But there was a fellow long ago named John Spilsbury. He said, I shall not henceforward from this time fear prison as I did before, because he was put in prison for preaching the gospel. He says, because I had so much of my heavenly Father's company as it made it like a palace to me. What else did he have to do? He was in jail. He was in prison. And he didn't have all the cares of the world, and so he was able to spend more time in prayer. Some senior saints that seem to be confined to their homes or don't have very much ability to get out, they can be great prayer warriors because, yes, they may have more time than other folks. And so it becomes a great ministry then of prayer. Well, not only is there the quiet place, but there needs to be then the quiet time, McIntyre said. And as we take time, then... use your time. Take time in your time. Don't rush through some kind of a prayer list that you might have. I suppose going quickly is better than not going at all. If your heart is in it. If your heart's not in it, if you're just doing it for duty and to feel good because you did it, then your prayer only went probably as far as the ceiling. But take time to pray. There's a story told of a group of African men and as Christian men. And they would, not every week, but from time to time, they would gather together and they'd go up onto one of their local mountains and pray. And they'd pray all night. And so one of those times, there was a European that was there and that was visiting, and they invited him. He was a Christian. They invited him to go with them on this particular night. And so as they're getting close to their place that they're going to go, and he's wondering, and he voiced his concern. He said, how are you going to pray, or we, how are we going to pray all night long? And they said, oh, you Europeans, you're always in such a hurry. You know, you think you're going to go pray, that's it, and then we're going to go do something else. You know, go home, go to bed, or whatever. But we come, we pray, we wait for God to answer. We wait for God to move, and we pray some more. And we wait upon the Lord, and then we pray some more. And so we have to take time. I'm not saying that, you know, we all have, most of us have schedules. We have other responsibilities, yes. But take as much time as you can in your prayer time. Andrew Murray, we all probably know how he's written a lot of books about prayer. He said, hurry is the death of prayer. And as we realize, when we just try to hurry through something, it's not going to be as good as if we took the time to do it like it should. So put time into your time of prayer. Also, put content into your time. In Romans chapter 12, those first couple of verses are telling us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if we're always in a hurry, and if we're always just shallow, how are we ever going to renew our mind? It's going to take some time. It's going to take some depth of relationship with Christ to renew our mind from that which this world tries to conform us to. But we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans chapter 8. So don't allow the world to force you into its mold that it tries to create for what you should be or what a Christian should be. You look at our world today and everything that's called Christian, and wow, it's a big mess. I made reference to that this morning even, that just because something is called Christian anymore doesn't mean that there's much substance to it. But if the mind is to be renewed and if the life is to be transformed, then the heart has to have some quiet, quality time with God to let His Spirit speak to us. Those are some of the most blessed times in prayer. I trust you've experienced those. That when God just begins to speak to you, you almost don't care what the time is. You just want to spend that time with the Lord. Martin Luther said, if I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of fire of faith. We need prayer. We need to be encouraged and built up. And when we say, I don't have time today, and there may be some days that are like that. Things just start happening. But then as soon as we can, we find the time. It may not be your normal time, and it may not be your normal place, but you need to find that time and spend it with the Lord. So in our quiet time, we have to take time, we have to have content in that time, and we have to have regularity in that time. You know, how can we know the will of God for our life, and how can we know the will of God for our plans today, unless we've spent time with the Lord? We would be operating on presumption just to say, well, God wants me to do this today, and I'm supposed to do this, this, and this, and this today. Well, we probably do have to do certain responsibilities and take, we got to go to the job, we got to take care of work, things at home that we've got to take care of also. But there's that relationship with our Lord that we've got to take care of. We've got to spend that time with Him. Daniel was praying three times a day, gives us that example. In Psalm 119, verse 164 says that the psalmist said he was going to pray seven times a day because of that righteous judgment of God, always seeking to go to God for that. In Acts 3:1, a great miracle takes place there in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, they're on their way up to the temple, and they see the lame man sitting there, and he is healed. That's when Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk! And boy, you know, that guy's jumping and, up and down, and the result of that was 4,000 men got saved. We read that in the next chapter, chapter 4. But they were going up at the hour of prayer. It was regular. And they were going up to the temple for that. In Psalm 5:3, the psalmist says, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. It's a good time to praise in the morning, before our mind gets fogged up with all the things of the day. But maybe morning doesn't work for you. Set another time. But make it regular. Set a time aside that we will have prayer with our Lord. We will make it as long as we can. We will make it be of quality content, not just skimming the surface of everything that we want to say. Jesus, we would think, really had no need to pray. Why does God need to pray? But Jesus, the God-man, needed to pray. He didn't have any sin that he needed to confess. He didn't have any life issues that he had to go to the Lord about and say, Lord, I'm just struggling with this. You know, Father, I'm just struggling with this. I need your help. He didn't have any sickness that he had to ask God to heal him of. But Jesus went to prayer. And he prayed often. And he prayed long. We just finished that study of the apostles on Wednesday nights. And before Christ named the 12 apostles out of all of his disciples, there were many others, they were called disciples, but out of the multitude of disciples, he chose 12 apostles. It tells us that he spent the whole night in prayer before he named them in the morning. Jesus, God, the one who helped create the world. But he needed to pray. He needed to have that communion with his Father. And somehow, we mere mortals think we don't need to spend much time in prayer. You know, go figure. The Lord did, and we should too. The final part then of the elements that McIntyre said was the quiet heart. So a quiet place, a quiet time, and a quiet heart. Can you quiet your heart? That's pretty hard sometimes. Because we think of so many things. Our heart is upset. Our heart is anxious. Our hearts are worried. Our hearts are thinking about the time. Our hearts are pressured. Our hearts are hurt. Our hearts are so busy. Yet, we need a quiet heart. So that when we come before the Lord, we can focus on Him, not on all of our problems. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we might just have to sit there, kneel there, whatever is your form. We might have to just stand there for a while. Because we've just got to quiet our heart. So many little things, I was going to say munions, whatever they are, you know, might be on our shoulders. You know, they're all yelling in our ears. And we have to get rid of those things. And maybe you just have to sit in your prayer place for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And quiet your spirit before you just run to your place and grab your sheet and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to pray for this, Lord, and I pray for this, and I pray for that. You got to get your heart quieted to pray. A quiet heart might be harder than finding the quiet time and the quiet place. Getting the heart quiet and just telling your heart, I'll take care of that. You know, kind of like that
that mucus guy. He's always showing up. You know, always showing. I love the Taco Tuesdays. He's going to go with this man to work today because it's Taco Tuesday. Well, it's Sunday, and we've got some good food at our house. I can't wait to hurry up and get done. I think I'm just going to quit right now so we can get on to it. Well, no, I got to finish this. Otherwise, the deacons might want to meet with me in my office. So, got to take care of this. But that mucus guy is always showing up. Everywhere he's wanting to be, and the whatever the medicine box is that finally smashes him. You know, and it's just his feet sticking. I kind of like him always getting the bad end of the deal like that. But it may be hard to find that quiet heart than the place or the time. In Luke chapter 10, we have Christ and the disciples have come to Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house. They did that several times. But on that particular time in Luke 10, Martha is fixing a meal. I think Martha could be one of my good friends. She's fixing a meal and she's really putting out a nice spread. She's got a lot of work involved. In whatever it was that she was preparing, even the Oriental foods, I enjoyed them, and I thought they were all very good. It was the Turkish coffee that I could not handle. That stuff was so bitter. But all the other foods, yeah, I could do very well. And she's fixing that, and she's so busy about it all, and she's encumbered, it says, with all of the hustle and the bustle. And she finally, you know, she keeps looking over at Mary, because what is Mary, her sister, doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Doesn't she know we've got to get this meal set out here on the tables? That's why you guys need to sign up out there, so that we don't have a bunch of Martha issues, that we've got things taken care of. And as she finally cannot take it anymore, she says, "Lord, will you tell my sister to get out to the kitchen and help me take care of the rest of this food?" And, well, it didn't quite say it that way in the Scriptures, but that's what she meant. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're encumbered, you're busy about so many things." But Mary had done what? She had chosen the good part. You see, she was unloading her heart. She was unloading all of her responsibilities. Now, I'm not telling, you know, that you go home and you just don't do whatever you're supposed to do. But she was unloading everything so she focused on Jesus. That's the point. Mary has chosen that good thing and it will not be taken away from her, the Lord said. That's why when we come into a time of prayer, whenever it is in the day, whatever the amount of time you have, you need to unload. Not unload on God, but just unload your heart. Let them go. Say, "I'll take care of that later. I'll take care of that later. Lord, right now, I just want to spend some time with you. Lord, I just want to have my heart ready. Lord, I just want to get all the other things out of my heart right now, so I can focus on you." The quiet heart. So I can pray and have that communion with my God. Maybe I've only got 5 minutes for this prayer. Maybe it's just a little bit of time. But we still need to have that heart quieted so that we can pray. Sometimes we find people in this digital world are so much more connected with everything that's going on. But there's practically no connection. I'm talking about Christians. Practically no connection with God. You know, when you go to have your prayer time, you should not have your phone. It's either somewhere else, it's totally muted, it's not with you. So you don't have to worry about it. In fact, you should have it muted, because even after, once you start praying and you hear it, ding, oh, somebody sent me something. And you, Lord, I just asked now, oh, let's see, Lord, I'm almost to the end of my day. Ding, oh, I wonder what that one was. You know, turn that thing off, silence it, so you can focus on your prayer.
Sometimes you people call us when we're having lunch. That's okay. I don't mind. Because I'm not going to answer my phone anyway. So just go ahead and call whenever you want to. I really don't care. But if we're busy doing something else, maybe we'll finish that first before I go see what the call was. And you should do the same things. When you are in those times, you should do the same thing too. D.L. Moody says, every revival can be traced to a kneeling figure. The great revivals of the world usually started out with a very small group, one or two people, who became so burdened that they began to pray. They didn't go around putting up posters. They didn't buy all of the media time. They didn't publish all kinds of flyers to be handed out. They began to pray. We believe in prayer, don't we? We believe in prayer, don't we?
Amen.
Okay. I thought maybe you'd fallen asleep on me. But do we use it? Or do we use it thinking, well, okay, I've checked that off, but now I got to go out and work. Yeah, we have to do the work, but prayer. Kim and I were going back and forth this afternoon, texting. She's getting ready, leading the choir songs they started tonight for Easter. And she was asking, what did I have planned? Well, what do you think pastor's got planned for Easter? Huh? What do you think? Huh? Yeah. I don't have any details yet. But I want our church to let hundreds of people know we got a church service here on Easter Sunday morning. USPS and I are not getting along. I don't think we're going to have our decreased cost permit ready by Easter. They're just as stubborn as I am on this issue. And I think they're going to force us to try to fill out a 30-page form for the IRS to prove that we're a church, because they won't recognize us. But you know what? That doesn't need to stop us. Because we can still print up the material. We can still print up the flyers and the invitations. And we got lots of people. There's more on Sunday that can help us out. Sunday morning that can help us out. And we can take a handful of those things and we can go door to door to door to door and put them on their doors. Or we can knock on their door and say, we'd like to invite you to our Easter services. Because people think they should go to church on Easter. I mean, the paper was full of all the restaurants offering fish fries now. You know, because we're moving into Lenten season. It's not biblical for everything that they try to do. But they're building everybody up for us. They're building everybody up thinking, you need to go to church on Easter. I'd like to get into places we haven't been. And just go door to door, handing out invitations and encouraging people to come. You know, most of those people, they won't come. But some might. Someone might. And that's what we want to do. I wanted to do a lot of it through bulk mail, but I don't think it's going to work. So when we get closer, I hope you got your walking shoes on. And that you'll carve out some time to be involved in that. Because I'm kind of thinking that's where it's going to have to go. So that when we come together on Easter Sunday morning, you might have to get here early to get your usual seat before you try to throw somebody out of where you usually sit. Wouldn't that be a great problem to have? You don't get to sit where you wanted to sit. Yeah, that would be a great problem. But then you'd probably be in such a sour mood, you wouldn't even know how to pray that day. So anyway, you work on that, okay? Work on that. God's looking for a corporate body of believers to take a stand and to stand true and to seek His help, to seek His guidance. Having a series on prayer just before our missions conference was on purpose, that we might be more focused on the work of reaching the lost. So we've got two missionaries coming.
going to lands that really do need the gospel. America needs it too. Ogle County needs it. Lee County needs it. And we're here. So we're the missionaries. And in the coming weeks, I trust that because of looking at how God worked in David's life, in situations, and then what David said about it, and as we think about prayer and as we begin to pray, that we begin to soak this region with prayer, and some hearts in particular that you know, so that on Resurrection Sunday, many of those folks are sitting in these pews. Many? How many is that? I don't know. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's 50. I don't know. Maybe it could be more. But a body of believers that wants God's power to be seen can begin to pray for that. May God help us to have that quiet place, that quiet time, and a quiet heart to hear what He wants to tell us, too. Let's pray. Father, we just ask, Lord, that we might even begin to learn more than what we already know about prayer. That it is through prayer that we see that early church being used to witness to and lead thousands to Christ. That it was through prayer that hearts were reached and lives were changed. That it was through prayer that disciples were emboldened in their witness. That it was through prayer that they discovered Your will and changed their own lives. Father, I pray that You would work in us to do the same things that You desire to do right here in this Rochelle area. Lord, how I pray for Your blessing to be upon First Baptist Church, that You might receive the honor and the glory of the truth of Your Word being proclaimed and people responding. Father, we thank You for the last two Sundays and the great times of fellowship that we've had around Your Word. Lord, I pray that in the coming days that we will be excited about the work of missions in other countries. That, Lord, we will be excited about what could be done in our own lives. That what could be done in our church. That what could be done in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that You give to us a vision to see Your will. I pray, Lord, You give us a heart that wants what You want. Lord, I pray and ask that You'd use us and work in us, grow us. Help us to clear out whatever needs to be cleared out. Give to us, Lord, blessings that will match up then with Your great promises and Your will. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.